In each one of our lives, I'm sure that there are certain situations in which we all, myself included, take a little bit of pride. After all, it's only proper, is it not, that after we've accomplished a little bit of work and we look back over that situation that we've been called to work in, that we pat ourselves on the back a little bit because of a job well done. And no one really would take offense at us, would they, if we take some satisfaction in a job well done. In fact, in many situations, if we've been laboring over a particular task for a number of years and it is finally completed, others will say to us, "No doubt, you have reason to be proud of the work that you have accomplished. Pop up your chest. Pop those buttons a little bit. After all, you have accomplished that task, and it's good, and you've done a good job." But there is a danger in all of that, is there not? We have to be careful. We have to be careful not to have an exalted view of ourselves. That, too, can be very, very dangerous. It can be very dangerous to our social status. We've seen a situation in our own community where that has been the case. And it can also be of eternal significance if we do indeed have an exalted view of ourselves. It is into this kind of situation that our Lord Jesus speaks in this particular parable. Look at it with me. First of all, to whom does Jesus speak in the parable? Verse 9 in Luke chapter 18. "And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." Jesus was speaking specifically to a certain group of people. He tells us that they trusted in themselves. And this word that Jesus uses is quite interesting because it really tells us that these particular people were not only trusting in themselves, but that they were utterly convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt. They were persuaded concerning their own abilities and their own self-righteousness. They were supremely confident in their own righteousness, Jesus says. They looked at their own moral character, and they were satisfied, convinced, as it were, that they were keeping God's commandments properly, and they were very proud of it. We can think of Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. And it's amazing. Here was a fellow who he really thought he had it made. And he really believed that he was on the right track. He was going in the right direction. Concerning righteousness, he was supremely completing all of the requirements that God had set before him. He was on the right track. We can think of the Pharisees who brought the woman who was caught in adultery. And it's kind of a comical scene, I think, if we really understand it. Because here are these men who bring this poor woman to Jesus. And they tell Jesus, "We have caught this woman in the very act of adultery." We wonder which one of them had been involved in that act, in their self-righteous, smug attitude in which they come before the Lord Jesus. Here are these men and women, as the scriptures tell us, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they viewed others with contempt. The words of Jesus are quite interesting here too, because the picture he paints is something like this. Here is this group of people who were arrogant, really, smug, self-satisfied. And the words that Jesus uses here indicate that the rest, all of the rest, they look down on with contempt.
What a position these people must have thought they were in. I want to challenge you a little bit at this point. Have you ever looked down at someone else? Have you ever yourself held another individual in utter contempt? Have you felt this way towards someone else or thought this way about someone else? This is a parable for you then. Let's not look at this parable as though, well, there are these Pharisees over there and we understand who they are. We don't have any part or stock in what they do. No, my friends, let's bring it home. Because I know myself, and I will confess it before you to my shame, there have been times in my life when I have looked at others and I have held them in utter contempt because of either who they were or what they have done. And so this parable is for me, and this parable is also for you. Who then are the main characters in this parable? Look at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. There are two men in the parable. The Pharisee, first of all, who epitomizes the class of individuals to whom Jesus is speaking. Those who are trusting in their own righteousness. And then on the other pole, on the other extreme, as it were, Jesus sets before us this tax gatherer, this tax collector. This was an individual who collected taxes for the Romans among the Jewish people. And he was, no doubt, an extortionist. He collected taxes for profit. And he was allowed, literally, to go to people and say, okay, this is how much you must pay me. And out of what he would collect from others, he would give to the Romans a portion of that. And that's how he made his living. And he would lie and he would cheat and he would rob. And very often there would be a Jewish person who would be a tax collector for the Romans. And such an individual was actually looked upon as a traitor by his fellow people. It may very well be that Jesus had this kind of individual in view as he sets before us the scene in this parable. And it would be this tax collector whom the Pharisee would look down his nose at in utter disdain. So there are two men in the parable. And there is God. Let's not forget. The person who is really the main character in the parable. The parable is about man's, woman's relationship with God. It is God who justifies. It is God to whom these two men come ostensibly to pray. It is God with whom they have to do. And it is with God that I have to do and that you have to do. He is really the main character in this parable, dear friends, this morning. And although we see these two men set before us, let us not miss the fact that it is with the living God that these two men have to do, and it is with the living God that you have to do, and that I have to do. Now let's look at the prayer, first of all, of the Pharisee. Verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, I thank thee, God, that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.
An interesting picture is painted by our Lord Jesus, this Pharisee, coming to the temple. And of course, both of these men came up to the temple to pray. This was the place of worship. They came up to the temple to pray. And Jesus says specifically of this Pharisee, he stood, no doubt in a proud fashion. It was the custom of the Pharisee to stand so that he could be seen by others. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that it was the custom of the Pharisees to stand on the street corner or to stand in the synagogue in a place or a position where he could be seen of men. This was the whole purpose of his coming to pray, so that he might be seen by men. These Pharisees did love to be seen by men. The scripture goes on to tell us here, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. The New International Version says he was praying about himself. There is a sense in which that is true, of course, that he was praying about himself. But the language is more specific than this. He was praying to himself. You might think at first blush that what Jesus is talking about is that this Pharisee was standing there, as we might often do, and praying to ourselves, that is, silently, under our breaths, as it were, not audibly, so that others could hear. But this is not the emphasis of what Jesus is saying here. This Pharisee, Jesus tells us, uttered this prayer as an act of self-worship. He was praying to himself. He was not worshiping the Creator. What does verse 9 tell us? And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves. Here was a man who was supremely confident in his own abilities to cope with life and to do what was right. And so he stood, as it were, in the temple, not directing his prayer to Almighty God, on whom he was dependent. No, this man was not dependent upon God. He was dependent upon himself, fully dependent upon himself. And so to whom was he praying? He was praying to himself. And what does he say? The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like others. I am not like the rest. I am not like the rest of people. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of it. I'm not like the rest of these people around here. I'm not a swindler. Not like that tax collector over there, a robber. I'm not unjust. Why? I've done everything in my power to keep all of your commandments, Lord. You know that's the case. I'm not an adulterer. Not like other people. Supremely faithful to my wife and to my family. That's who I am. I fast twice a week. I am very faithful to all the religious duties to which you have called me. Why, I'm there every Lord's Day morning for adult class or juniors class. I'm there. I'm there at the worship services. Wednesday night, I'm faithful at prayer meeting. We carry on family devotions at home. I'm faithful in my own devotional life, supremely active and correct in all that I do as far as my religious duties are concerned. And to top it all off, I tithe. Tithe of everything that I collect. Everything I get, I take a tenth of it. I give it to the church. I do these things. This is my life. And I'm proud of it. Don't you tell me that I'm not carrying out my duties as I ought to. Now, let's take a moment here and reflect on this Pharisee. Because there's a very great danger which is present And the danger is that we may throw the baby out with the bathwater, as it were. Let me put it another way. We may throw the righteousness out with the Pharisee. You see, the point here is that the righteousness which is being spoken of is not bad. It is the fact that this Pharisee trusted in this righteousness. And we dare not throw out the righteousness. You see, my friends, it is very, very important for us to be very meticulous. Very meticulous in all of our dealings that concern finances. It's important for us to be meticulous in this area. We dare not cheat anyone. We must be faithful in this area of finances. And we also must pursue righteousness and holiness. It is incumbent upon each of us, myself included, to pursue righteousness, to take God's commandments very, very seriously. Jesus, you see, says to us through the Apostle John in 1 John, he says, if you claim to know God and do not keep God's commandments, you're a liar. That's what Jesus says to us through the Apostle John. And he also tells us that God's commandments are not burdensome. That one of the ways that we show God that we really do love Him is to follow His commandments. Many, many times we have said this, so it's very important that we do not throw the righteousness out with the Pharisee, you see. It is also very, very important for you and for me to be faithful to marriage vows. We cannot afford to take our vows lightly. We must be very attentive to our religious obligations, to come together on the Lord's Day, to study God's Word, to pray together, to have devotions together and separately. It's very important to do these things. And it is very important that we should tithe also, is it not? To give of our substance as God has prospered us. It's important to do that. And we dare not withhold the tithe. The prophet Malachi tells the people of Israel, why are you not bringing all of the tithe into my storehouse? Do we dare rob God? No, we dare not. And Jesus tells us that our righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee. In other words, we ought not to be content with a mere outward conformity to the requirements of God, but that our hearts ought to be in it, full. And we ought to express great love for God by accomplishing what He desires us to accomplish. You see, the problem with the Pharisee was not so much the righteousness, but the fact that he trusted in his own righteousness. That was the problem. And he was proud of his own righteousness. We dare not go down that path. We must, with might and main, work for the living God and accomplish His desires for us. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But we must do that. But we cannot be like the Pharisee who trusted in that righteousness, because there's really nothing to trust in there. God tells us very plainly through the prophet Isaiah that our own righteousness is like a filthy rag in comparison to the holiness of God. And so we dare not trust in a righteousness which will never meet the standards of a holy and righteous God. That is misplaced trust. And that was the problem of the Pharisee. A misplaced trust. He worshipped himself, the creature, rather than Almighty God, who is the Creator. Well, the graphic comparison is given. Look again at our text, verse 13. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Here is the tax gatherer, standing at a distance. Again, these two men were in the temple. And the picture we have is that the tax gatherer perhaps was off in the shadows, not willing to be seen in his own shame. And he was unwilling, the scriptures tell us, to lift his eyes to heaven. He couldn't bear to look God in the face, again in his shame. And his demeanor was such, the scriptures tell us here, that he beat his breast. Oh God, God, in despair, this man before God. And he cries out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. To whom else was this individual to go? No one else. Who would be merciful? Only God. And the word which is used here and translated merciful is only used twice in the New Testament. It's not the normal word which we find in our New Testaments which concerns mercy. Literally, this tax collector says, O God, be propitious to me, the sinner. He is in essence saying to God, God, if it is your pleasure to bring the full wrath I am due for my sins against me, you are absolutely just in doing so. I am the sinner. I have in no way fulfilled my obligations to you. I am unrighteous. I am an adulterer. I know it's true. I have failed in every way before you. I am the sinner. And this is exactly the way he puts it. I am the sinner. Not just a sinner, but the sinner before you. And he says to God, God, would you be pleased not to bring upon me the wrath which is due, but to spare me. And the very word that Jesus uses here points to the Savior. Would you be propitious to me? We remember how in 1 John again, John tells us that this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was on Calvary's cross and took upon Himself the wrath of God for sin. And that's why Jesus, on that cross, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment, the mercy and the grace of God was completely departed from the Lord Jesus Christ, and God was venting the full wrath due to sin against men upon this Jesus as he struggled on that cross. And this tax collector is saying, oh God, be propitious to me. May it be that I am shielded
from the penalty I am due for sin. May that be. And I cast myself on your mercy. Jesus gives us the bottom line then. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Let me ask you this morning, folks. Are you trusting in your own good works before God? Are you? God does not receive you. That's what Jesus is telling us. It is a misplaced trust. On the other hand, do you this morning see yourself as the sinner? And do you cry out to God, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner? Jesus says very plainly, very poignantly, the person who casts themselves on the mercy of Almighty God, that person goes down to his house being received by God. And there is no greater reception that can ever be contemplated by a human being. What is it with you this morning, dear friend? And will you, when you go from this place of worship today, will you go to your house being received by God Himself?